strict with what Scripture says, then people are going to say, oh, you're one of those, I don't want anything to do with you. And that will be true with a lot of people. But that's how people get saved, too, by giving them the truth about Jesus. And when you give them the truth about Jesus without watering it down, then people will be saved. That's the only way. Beginning at verse 11, the people witnessed the healing, and according to verse 11, they were actually filled with wonder. The end of the Jesus' crucifixion was still fresh in their minds. And now his followers were preaching as boldly as Jesus was, even though Jesus wasn't here anymore, and they are back in the temple. So, with as much intimidation as they could use, the highest court in the land arrested the men, kept them locked up overnight, and would begin an inquisition to try to end this breach. Verse 7, they asked them when they finally did meet on the following morning, by what power or what by what name have you done this? Religious leaders had certainly not given them the authority to defeat them, but they knew it wasn't them. So they demanded that Peter and John give an answer to their satisfaction. Oh, tell us. This was the exact same question that they used only a short time before. But the Lord's triumphal entry, Jesus entered into the temple and acted in opposition to those who sold in the temple. And then, on one of those days, Luke tells us, as Jesus was preaching to the crowds in the temple, the religious leaders approached him and said, tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Or who is he that gave you this authority? This is what they're doing a second time. With Jesus, he just said, tell me whose authority does John have. The council's interest was to maintain power and wield sole authority in the temple, and they knew that they did not grant Peter and John any such privilege. Still, there was no way to deny the miracle of the healing. So what they were doing at this point is they were actually using the Old Testament. Using it in a right way for wrong purposes. In the Old Testament, Moses commanded the people to test the spirits in Deuteronomy chapter 13. He said there that if a person performed a miracle and directed attention away from God to other gods, the false gods, then he was to be examined and killed for his false teaching. So you can imagine what was on these men's minds. As far as the Sanhedrin is concerned, following the miracle of healing, Peter and John preached another God, because they're preaching Jesus, not the real God. That's what they thought. Who were they preaching? Jesus. And it says that in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6 and 13 through 16 and 19 through 20 and 26 and chapter 4 and verse 2. To the religious leaders, the ones that actually killed Jesus, Jesus is not God. He was merely a religious zealot who tried to overthrow formal religion, and now Peter and John were doing the same thing. So if this is their approach, to use the Old Testament to have some leverage to kill these guys, they would try to entrap them and then legally have them put to death. Does that work? But no. Beginning at verse 8 and going on through verse 12, we see that the commanding name of Jesus changes all of that. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, began to preach. What imagine what these men are thinking? That's not what we were asking. He says, oh, there was a good deed. Oh, I see. You want to know what the good deed? Well, this is a good deed. This 40-year-old man who hasn't been able to walk his entire life. Look at him. He's walking right now. Isn't that a good thing? This is going to help out society. People don't have to contribute to anything. This is going to help out for himself. Now, he's going to be a productive person more so than he was before. This is going to be a good thing for the temple because he'll come in here praising God instead of sitting at the gates begging. This is good all the way around. This is a good thing, isn't it? Peter says it's a good deed, an act of benevolence. But with the undeniable miracle that's standing right there, Peter continues his answer by saying that this good deed was accomplished. To answer your question more specifically, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Here's the crux of the matter. This is it. This is it right here. Peter is very precise. Jesus. What's that? Well, Jesus is the name by which he was known. A lot of people know him as Jesus. But he's identifying him. And then it's Christ or Messiah. This is his title. This is his biblical office. Jesus the Messiah. And the one of Nazareth. Of Nazareth identifies him as the one that all Israel knew. And, by the way, this was written on the sign that Pilate put over the head of Jesus on the cross. Jesus of Nazareth. The leaders asked for the name, the authority of their actions and teaching. And the name, again, is a reference to the whole person, his character, and therefore his authority. This is the power by which Peter and John are healing and preaching. And if Jesus is the one doing the healing, this must mean something about Jesus. He's alive. Now, to clarify, to point out the continuing power of the Lord, Peter does not hesitate to declare that the men who are now sitting to question the disciples are the very ones that made the decision to crucify him. We stopped reading moments ago. Let's continue. Verse 10, middle of the verse, whom you crucified. That one, that's the one that we're using his power. He is granting the power to do this.